Thank you for subscribing to HawkeyeDrive.com, your stop for Iowa football, men's basketball content. I'm Brendan Stiles. Back again this week with Gary Dolphin. He just got done hosting Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz down here at Carlos O'Kelly's in Iowa City. Gary, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, considering a loss last Saturday, Brendan. But that's the great thing about college football is these young guys can flush it real quick and come back, and you better when you got an opponent like Ohio State waiting for you on their doorstep.
And you talk about, you know, being able to flush it, and I know that's kind of been a topic of conversation this week especially because, you know, obviously with the loss and it being the third loss that Iowa's had this season, I know there were a lot of high expectations for this team coming in, and some of the fans, you know, kind of almost view this season as a disappointment of sorts. And I just wanted to kind of get your take from what you've seen, how the players, how they've been able to respond, especially coming off a loss as devastating as last week.
First off, I don't know how people can sit here and say it's a disappointment. 7-3 is very good. 4-2 in a league that maybe is the best top to bottom it's been in a decade. And I know a little bit about that. I've been around here for a few years watching Big Ten football. And then you look at the size of the losses, where they've lost three games now by 7 points, by 1 point, and by 4 points, and two of them were on the road. You know, I love the line, hey, the other team's trying to win too. And Iowa is not built, as you know, historically, to run away and hide from opponents on any given Saturday. Yeah, they get a lopsided victory once in a while, but they're built to run the football, play good, solid defense, hopefully not turn the ball over, and not commit dumb penalties. Well, the Hawks have committed a lot of penalties the last few weeks, and that is uncharacteristic, but it's not a miracle that these other teams upset Iowa if the Hawks don't play at their level best. So right now I'd take 7-3 on most landscapes. I think at the beginning of the year, yeah, the expectations were high because of what happened in the Orange Bowl. But keep in mind, Brendan, we've talked about this. Last year was totally unexpected. They thought they could have a good team. They thought they could go to a nice bowl. But nobody saw 11-2 coming. And so based on that, everybody was predicting, you know, undefeated, national championship. That's just unrealistic. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But it's not going to happen now. You need a couple minor miracles to be performed if they could get to the Rose Bowl. But that said, if they can beat a quality opponent in Ohio State this weekend and then beat Minnesota next weekend on the road, and that's not going to be easy, as Minnesota proved at Illinois last week, then at 9-3 they'd have most New Year's Bowls chasing them all over the landscape. So we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. I think I have full confidence this team is going to bounce back. We know what they've been like at home this year. They've been awfully good. The offense seems to have gotten over whatever ills it might have from road trips when they play at home. And I'm very confident about this weekend.
And just one more question kind of along these lines, then we'll focus specifically on this week. I noticed, you know, yesterday at his press conference and even today during the call-in show with a couple of callers, seemed to be, you know, I guess I would say Coach Ferentz has been a little bit on edge just because a lot of the criticism from what happened last Saturday kind of come in his direction, especially just from what you've been able to gather being around him over the years. How would you assess like how he's able to kind of deal with all that criticism, whether it comes from people in the media like myself or, you know, comes from fans that either call into the show or what have you?
He's fine. I mean, it was a lot worse in 2006 when they were 6-6 and 6-7 in back-to-back years. Now, the 1 year they didn't go to a bowl. The next year they should have beaten Texas in the Alamo Bowl and ended up losing that to Colt and the gang from Mac Brownstown. So it's not anywhere close to that. I mean, Kirk's level-headed. He understands the fans' frustration. Heck, and nobody's more frustrated than him.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, the coaches can only coach. They can only game plan and prepare these guys to go out and execute. And if the players don't execute, then you're not going to win the football game. And the players did not execute. They executed enough at Indiana to get that win, but could have easily lost that game. They did not execute enough last week against Northwestern. particularly in the fourth quarter. And it's easy to lay it at the feet of the defense. For anybody to say, and I heard, I mean, I just chuckled this week when I heard, well, the defense looked out of shape. Northwestern ran 83 plays last week. They run you sideline to sideline. That offense is designed to wear down a defense. I can assure you, Adrian Claiborne's in shape. The offense just didn't do enough on third down to sustain drives and to get scores. And when they ran in 17 straight points and then got the pick from Hunter at midfield, and all Iowa had to do there was run, get a couple first downs, kick a field goal, and go up 13. That game was over. Northwestern was not going to come back from 13 down. They didn't have enough time. But Ricky threw the interception. There were a couple bad penalties on drives early when Iowa was moving the ball, and who knows what might have happened there had they not had the hold, had they not had the illegal block in the back. So the offense just is, to me, it's the offense that hasn't been executing enough or in key situations, and that's not a criticism. It's just a fact. They haven't been getting it done. They'd be the first to tell you, and hopefully they bring it together this week.
Now, looking ahead to Saturday's game against Ohio State, it is senior day here at Iowa, and I know it's been, something that you've continuously brought up throughout the season is the fact that this team does have 26 seniors, and it was something that Coach Ferentz brought up at his press conference. Just when you look back on this particular group of players from the last 4 or 5 years you've gotten to be around them, what do you take away the most from what they've been able to accomplish?
As far as personality, I love their level-headedness, their unity, their ability to pull together. And I say that on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Adrian Claiborne and Rick Stanzi are best friends. DJK and Carl Klug are buddies. Brett Greenwood and Alan Reisner are good friends. This is really the near-perfect example of what a team is all about. These guys, this might be, well, it is the most veteran group of football players that Iowa's had in a number of years. As you know, Brendan, going back a couple of years, we've had 15 seniors last year, 15 the year before, maybe 17 or 18 the year before that. This is the biggest class of seniors they've had in a long time. So it's a special group. So it's not a shock to me that they've won, 18, 19 games over 2 years. And winning's not done for this season, I can assure you. It's a together group that happens to be very skilled at what they do. They're not perfect. They're 7-3 and 4-2 in a league that's, I think, the number one league top to bottom in the country in terms of talent. And I think that'll bear out come bowl season.
When you look back at last year's game against Ohio State, that decided the Big Ten championship and the berth in the Rose Bowl. Ohio State won that game in overtime, but Iowa was without Ricky Stanzi. Obviously, he had the ankle injury, and James Vandenberg got the start in that game and performed really well. With having Rick back this time around, and especially you consider the fact that he is an Ohio native, and the game's here in Iowa City, how much do you feel that that helps the Hawkeyes going up against Ohio State this year?
Certainly motivation. Motivationally speaking, it's huge. And it's not just Rick Stanzi. I mean, there's DJ Case from Ohio. Willie Lowe is from Ohio. Micah Hyde is from Ohio. LeBron Daniel. I think I counted up 10 to a dozen Ohio kids on the roster. Some of them don't play at all. Some of them play a little bit. Some of them play a lot. And most of them are upperclassmen. So I think that plays large into this game. You still have to go out and execute, though. I mean, DJ Case's got to catch passes. He's got to make crisp blocks, and I think he will Saturday. There's something special about Senior Day in general, but there's really something special about Senior Day at Kinnick Stadium, one of the storied buildings to play football in, as you know. And I've heard it from guys, Jared DeVries, Tim Dwight, to present day. When you run down that tunnel for the last time in the pregame to come out onto the field, play your last football game as an Iowa Hawkeye at home, it's very emotional. We've got a bunch of guys on this team who are emotional football players, and you have to be. That's how you are successful. You have to love this game. You have to play it at the highest level and be emotional in order to be successful. And so I think I would be shocked, Brendan, if they don't give a lights-out performance on Saturday. Is it good enough to beat a team that is historically one of the top five programs in the history of college football? Is it good enough to beat a team that is playing its best football right now? I mean, they're down 14-3 at the half. Saturday, and they came out and just steamrolled a good Penn State team, scoring, I think, 35 unanswered points. So this is a team that is hitting on all cylinders right now, and why not? They got a guy named Terrell Pryor. But is the Iowa defense good enough to hold them down? Absolutely. Rick Stanzi, Adam Robinson, that offense has got to get back to when they were converting 50% on third down. They've got to get back to being very much the way they were against Michigan State. And I think they can be, and I think they will on Saturday.
When you look at the other side of the ball, specifically the defense, you mentioned Terrell Pryor, but the one thing that kind of stands out to me when I think back to last year as well is the fact that those running backs that they have, like Dan Heron and Brandon Sane, they were both able to break off long touchdown runs on Iowa's defense. What is it about Ohio State's ground game that you feel makes it as effective as it's been? Because those guys both performed really well last week, too, during the Penn State game you just described.
It's Terrell Pryor. I mean, you got a guy that's 6'6", 240 pounds. He's a freak of nature physically. And yet at that size, he's almost a defensive lineman. He's got great speed. Now, he's been limited a little bit by his quad injury. And the Hawkeyes hopefully can slow him down even more this weekend. But he is really hitting stride. I mean, keep in mind, he's been around 3 years now, and he's still a young football player. But he's starting to get it. And when you're focusing so much of your defensive attention on him, it's not that Boom Boom Heron and Sane aren't terrific running backs, but I tell you what, if I got a quarterback like Terrell Pryor and I'm a tailback, I better be pretty good, especially at Ohio State. And here's the other component, is that their offensive line has finally gelled. They were struggling earlier in the year, but they've really gelled the last two or three weeks. The defense has gotten better despite a bunch of injuries in that secondary. And that's where Iowa's going to win the football game, is throwing to Allen Reisner, throwing to DJK on slants and crossing patterns. They should be able to run the ball somewhat, but Ohio State's one of the better run-stuffing teams in America, like Iowa. They're going to have to hit, both teams are going to have to hit passes to win the game, and that's where I like the pure passer, like a Rick Stanzi, over the guy that has a rocket for an arm in Terrell Pryor, but might not be as accurate. Both teams have outstanding receivers. We just got to hope that Ricky Stanzi, the fifth-year senior, is a little better at home on senior day.
I think it's interesting you bring that up, too, because one stat I actually looked up, this might even catch you by surprise, I don't know, but the last time Iowa had a running back go over 100 yards against Ohio State was Cedric Shaw, and that was back in that game in 95 that I think every Iowa fan tries to forget as much as possible, too. But
how many running backs ever rush for more than 100 yards against Ohio State? That would be the big picture. And so while that sounds unbelievable that an Iowa back hasn't rushed for more than 100 yards against Ohio State since 1995, it's really not that unique. I mean, it is Ohio State, and they, like all great defenses, gear up to stop the run first and make you beat them in the passing game. And when you have to beat Ohio State in the passing game, number one, if I were to ask you, what's been the hallmark of Ohio State what position has been the hallmark of Ohio State defenses over the years, how would you answer that?
I would probably say secondary.
Well, I would disagree with you. Linebacker, yes. A.J. Hawk is the latest example in the NFL. And you're right. They turn out, well, I won't say this every year, but every couple years they turn out four or five defensive backs that are playing in the NFL. But those guys are so good because their linebackers can run in coverage, they can drop in coverage. And they've got two guys in the middle this year that have been there a couple years that are very, very good again. And so it's a typical Ohio State defense. They get enough pressure up front. They got a great one in Cameron Hayward, but that's not the strength of the Ohio State front, or the Ohio State defense is their front. The strength are their two inside linebackers, and their secondary is vulnerable this year. They've had a ton of injuries at the safety position. Their corners are okay. Keep in mind, Ohio State has to replace six starters this year on defense, and over the last couple years, they've lost a ton of guys on defense because they've all left early for the NFL. But they reload. They don't rebuild at Ohio State. Yet, that said, I think the Hawks can take advantage of that secondary this weekend.
And I'll just get you out of here on this. I won't ask for keys, obviously, because you've addressed on a few major points already. But as far as the big picture here, if Iowa is able to bounce back on Saturday and win this game at home against Ohio State, I guess how does this impact how the rest of the team will perform from here on out when you got the game at Minnesota next week in the bowl?
Well, let me say this. First off, I think they'll perform admirably on Saturday. Hopefully, it's good enough to beat a top 10 ranked opponent. Secondly, if they win Saturday, Minnesota's a whole different cup of tea next week. If Coach Brewster were there and Minnesota was going along being Minnesota like they were earlier in the year, I'd feel a lot better. But Minnesota beat Illinois last week in Champaign, and the last time I checked, Illinois might win the most improved team award this year in the Big Ten. Now they've got a coordinator who's a good football coach, and he's got them fired up. It's going to be their senior day. But that said, it still comes down to talent. I like a line Rick Stanzi said way back in Chicago in August. You know, regardless of where you're at, what day it is, when that game starts, you're between the lines. It's our 11 guys against your 11 guys. And if you're better than their 11 guys, you're going to win the football game. So this is what I like about Iowa is their players reflect the personality, the persona of the coaches. And so if they win Saturday, and I think they got a great chance to win Saturday, then I have no doubt they'll go up to Minnesota and play a great football game a week from Saturday. These guys understand what's on the line. You run the table, finish 9-3. You've got every New Year's Day bowl but the Rose Bowl chasing you in some form or fashion, outside of the BCS, obviously. But there are some great bowls, Brandon, as you know, that we've come to enjoy that aren't necessarily a BCS bowl. And so there's a big carrot out there in front of their nose. They understand that.
You can listen to Gary Dolphin call a game along with Ed Polak on the Hawkeye Radio Network this Saturday. Kickoff is scheduled for 2:30 Central at Kinnick Stadium. Gary, thank you very much for the time. We'll be back with you again next week.
One more time prior to Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, Brendan.